are listening to Wells Tech, episode 567, recorded on Tuesday, September 18th, 2018. Worship Media. Wells Tech is a weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It's part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Today, we talk about worship media, Koine, the praise band that originated at St. Marcus Lutheran Church here in Milwaukee, joins us for an interview. Three of the band members talk about a new venture called Koine Worship Media. They give us an insight into what's next in their musical careers and their musical journey. We talk about worship media software, hardware, have a great voicemail that talks about some things that they're using out in Wisconsin Rapids. We have some great news and tech from the Apple folks, Wells Now, tips and picks, and all the rest. Stay tuned. And we're back again with another version, another episode, another round, whatever you like to call these things, of Wells Tech. And Sally is joining me as usual. Hey, Sally.
As
usual. Gotta
tell
everybody where you are.
Yep, I'm not commandeering your office today. I have changed states. I'm down in St. Louis, Missouri, where it is very warm. Heading south, and the temperature went up for sure.
Yep. So how long are you there?
We're doing 2 weeks in St. Louis. We were fortunate enough this past Sunday to worship at Martin Luther Evangelical Lutheran Church. Really great congregation. So friendly. It's really neat to travel around and see different worship settings and meet different people. And everyone there was just so friendly. We signed up to help with a work day on Saturday. Even, which is a neat thing, because when you're not connected real closely to a congregation, it's nice to be able to connect, you know, and help out in some ways. So we're excited about
that. That's so cool. That is so cool. Is that the same church that you and I went to when we were down in St. Louis area for training many year back?
It's quite possible. I don't remember, but I know that we did go to a Wednesday night Lenten service in St. Louis one year.
Yeah. Nice folks down there. You're right. And it is warm. I have some fond-ish memories of going to Grant's farm down there in about 95-degree heat and equal humidity, and my son just sweat pouring off of the little three-year-olds.
Yep, I can attest to that. That's the site that we went to see on Sunday, and we were in that same boat. But, you know, they give you a free beer if you're not 3 years old, so it makes it worthwhile.
That's right. There are some advantages to not being three.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, we're glad you're stationary for our Wells Tech podcast, and we are jumping into a kind of an exciting topic, one that we visit, you know, every now and again, and certainly a hot topic, you know, amongst our churches, and that's worship media. There are all shapes and sizes and ways of doing worship out there, and, you know, using screen technology and different kinds of music and media is something that a lot of people are getting into and interested in, and really kind of hungry to find out what's available out there.
Yeah, and I'm super excited. We've got a lot of resources that we've built up over time, but we have something brand new in terms of resources to share on today's show. One of our favorite Wells musical groups, the praise band Koine, has recently launched an endeavor in worship media, and it's quite impressive. It's called Koine Worship Media. We had the opportunity recently to sit down with not one, but three members of the Koine group, and we heard all about their new efforts in worship media.
So why don't we take a listen to that interview, and then we'll come back and chat a little bit.
We are super excited today to have joining us some members of Koine. Technically, maybe we should be talking about Koine Worship Media. I don't know what you call yourselves these days. You're doing a lot of different things. That's one of the reasons we wanted to talk with you all. So we reached out and have the opportunity to talk with Jason Jasperson, Brian Davidson, and Benj Lorenz. Or is it, there's a couple ways to pronounce that, isn't it?
And we pronounce it the Floridian way, the Lorenz.
Lorenz, I got it right. Okay, I never know. thanks, you guys, for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Glad to be here. Thanks.
My pleasure.
So give us a quick history of Koine, kind of what you do, what you've been doing, and then we'll talk about what lies ahead. Some of our listeners may not know of you, so give us a brief history.
Sure. Koine started out basically as a worship band at St. Marcus Lutheran Church in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, about 15 years ago. We started getting invited to play at other churches. Next thing you know, we're playing all over the country. We've traveled across the world. We've gone to Israel and the Czech Republic for some touring, international touring in Canada, which maybe some people don't consider that international, but technically we have to have passports, so I guess that counts. We've done all kinds of touring, averaging in the last 10 years. We've been doing this full time. We average about 150 shows a year, or live events, I should say. We've gone over the 200 mark a couple times in that 10 years. So maybe self-proclaimed hardest working band in Christian music. we've released 8 different albums now. So we've recorded well over 100 songs in the 15 years that we've been together. And now it's, you know, as we're getting older, the touring gets a little harder. The families grow a little more, get a little busier. We decided that it was time for us to maybe calm down the touring. And so in making that decision, we decided that we would do a maximum of 20 live events a year. And with the rest of our time, we will spend making resources for churches, for schools, for parents, for teachers, pastors, you name it, just resources that will help them in their day-to-day ministries of sharing the gospel with the world. So we're making all kinds of stuff. We're trying to basically make a big smorgasbord of materials for churches and schools to use at whatever level they're at. So just to give you kind of an example, we're basically making sheet music arrangements. We're making guitar chord charts. We make beautiful artistic backgrounds for worship videos and things like that. The media slides, that's a big part of what Jason is doing with us now, and we're super excited to have added him on in the last few months. And just the work that he has done in the past and the stuff that he's starting to create for us now, people are going to be very excited about to be able to use in their own places. So you got the media backgrounds. Of course, all the recordings that we already have made, those are available through the new website. And then making the PowerPoint videos, Pro Presenter slides, all that kind of stuff, those are all available. And then in addition to that, we're making videos that are designed specifically for participating and singing along, or for teaching hymnody to children. So the songs have, they're available in a couple of different ways, either with just the lyrics, and they kind of glow on as you watch the video, as so you know when to sing. And you also have them available now with full, what am I saying? The melody is actually embedded into the video.
Notated.
It's notated, so you can see the notated melody and sing along with it a little bit easier, especially for songs that we don't know quite as well. That's kind of a big thing. And for some people who don't like having screens in church, they say one of the things they say is they like to have the music so they can see the notes and be able to follow along a little better if they're not as familiar with a song. So we said, well, why don't we make something that is comparable to that and put it up on the screen still, so you get all the blessings that the screen provides, but you also get the notation. It makes it that much more singable. And encourages participation. So
neat. Now, you had mentioned Jason is new to the band, but he had been doing some work before. Jason, maybe you could share with us what caused you to kind of make this move. Tell us what you had been doing and what excited you about this opportunity.
Sure. Koine and I have worked together in the past. We've done some album art, t-shirts, and sand animation videos over the years. Our paths have crossed as they tour around the country, and they would kind of stop in my neighborhood, and we would talk and exchange ideas. And those were always really interesting discussions. In Koine, I find like-minded, creative, confessional Lutherans. And that's, while that's a mouthful, that's a really precious connection in my life. So when Brian called me, telling me about this new direction that he just described, I thought, I couldn't imagine a better situation. To be able to work creatively on theologically sound content and then to give it away, I thought, this is the chance of a lifetime. I couldn't pass it up.
Now, you'd been involved in a lot of different projects, but you also were in the classroom, right?
That's right. I was a high school art teacher at Minnesota Valley Lutheran for 17 years. And I'm still an educator. I teach sculpture class at Bethany Lutheran College now.
Okay.
And he's done a lot of other things as well.
That's what I understand.
Super fan of Jason Jasperson's creativity. And yeah, hooking the two groups together has got to come out with some really great content as you move forward with this new endeavor. Bench, I'm guessing you are the brains behind the technical side of audio and video. Is that your role, and what kind of equipment and software do you use to do that?
Yeah, well, in this current venture, I would be like the production manager, I guess you'd call it. And we have a production schedule. We're building most of our stuff in Finale as our starting point, aside from the studio tracks. Of course, that's in Pro Tools, a whole different world. But once we have a master track, then yeah, it gets filtered through Finale, and then it goes into the Photoshop, the Creative Cloud suite by Adobe. We use Photoshop, After Effects, and then when it finally is all said and done, when we combine the artwork that Jason creates, the music that Koine creates, and then the graphical work that Matt Scott, another member of Koine that he and I put together, we come up with our package. And that's what we release it. So
for the most part, you know, my familiarity with Koine is listening to your CDs, and obviously I've seen you a few times perform. Hymnody seemed to be your, you know, sweet spot, taking mostly traditional hymns and putting a modern or contemporary flair on them. Is that the continued direction? Do you are you going to create things to the left or right of that? What's the creative direction look like?
Well, for now, the initial startup is going to be to release the material that we've already recorded.
Okay.
For our 15 years, we've written over 70 or 80 original compositions. Some of those have been peppered on our albums, but many of them have been saved for a time when we were financially stable or just whatever stable to be able to record them and release them. And our goal and our dream is, once we get this off the ground, is to be able to go in and create those resources as well.
Nice.
Well, and in addition to the other, we have 200 or 300 hymn arrangements that have never been recorded as well that we would love to be able to record. So over the years, we've really banked up a lot of songs that people can hear when they hear us live or come to see us regularly in worship.
Yeah.
But if you just went online or just have our CDs, you know, you only have about 100 of maybe 600 songs or something like that. I mean, it's quite a library, I guess, when you kind of look back on it.
Yeah. Well, most of our material has not been recorded. That's kind of what we're hoping to be able to.
Yeah, maybe 1/5, 1/6 of the material.
By being home extra 200 times a year, we're hoping maybe we can pull some of that off.
Yeah, who would have known that it's really hard to record while you're in a bus driving down the road 70 miles an hour? It's kind of loud in there. So
yeah,
it doesn't work so good on the road. And when the little time you have at home, you really had to be home as much as you could. And our wives and families have always been very gracious to allow us to record. But now being able to be home more, recording is definitely, you know, creating and recording new material whether they're old hymns with a new arrangement or actually brand new songs that Koine has written. We just really look forward to those days where that's what we really get to 100% focus on.
When you're talking about worship media, and that's kind of the theme of our show this week, what kind of skill or talents need to exist maybe in the local congregation to take advantage of your resources? How do you see that playing out as you go into this venture?
We honestly are trying to make it as accessible as possible. You know, when we talked about this new venture, the two main things we said is the two main barriers that we hear from churches most for not doing something like this is cost and inconvenience. And so we said, well, we really need to try to knock those two out so that Sally, the Sunday school teacher, doesn't have to wonder whether or not she should use this video or, you know, do I really spend $15 on this or should I do this or should... she can just use these things and try them out. And if it's a blessing to her kids, if it works for her in her context and she enjoys it, then all we're asking to do is to consider giving, you know, be a part of our, partner with us in this ministry and support it with us, and help us take it to the world. And the other thing is the accessibility, just make it as easy as possible, put everything on one website with hopefully, you know, a basic click of the button, you can get these things. And, you know, the videos can be thrown into any kind of program. Anybody who knows how to do any kind of a PowerPoint, we use a program called ProPresenter. That's a very typical program for a lot of churches that use screens and things like that on a regular basis. But these things can be dumped into any of those programs quite easily. But even for parents can just, you can load these things up on your phone and or your iPad. And play these at night with your kids. It's that simple. It's really a very easy thing. You just have to register your information, and once you're registered, you can download as much stuff as you want. Try it out, give it a go. As far as the sheet music goes, you click on the sheet music, it downloads right to your computer, and you print it out wherever and whenever you want to. It's that simple. So,
now, did you say you were creating background tracks as well to go along with that?
Oh, yep.
Recordings has the ability to take the vocalist out.
Okay.
So you can, you know, so some of the lyric videos or the notation videos will have the music and the visual cues to sing, but they won't have the vocalist singing. And then like if a church has, you know, very like a minimal musicians, they can use the sheet music. If there's no musicians, they could rely on the videos. So we try to design a package that would hit on every spectrum that our church body has. So let's say you don't even like the way Koine sounds, but you have a melody and it's a hymn. Well, you can take our resource and not have the audio in at all and have the melody printed on the screen. And it's the familiar hymn melody that you always knew. It's just presented in a modern media context. So we've hopefully given enough flexibility so that whether you have zero musicians or you have 50 musicians, or you have little tech or, you know, massive tech, you can use anything in our package and adapt it accordingly.
Yeah, even an organist could, you know, you could just use the same thing. You could play along and play at your own pace and just click along as you would in your PowerPoint on a normal Sunday. We're just helping you with the beautiful worship backgrounds. So it's not just a simple black and white screen or something like that. Really adds to the text and to the message. That's what Jason is so great at doing, is really tying it all together. That's one of the big things that people have emphasized with us over the years, is just when you take the rich texts and the beautiful scriptures, you take the sounds of the instruments and you combine that all with these beautiful visuals, it really just kind of takes you to a new place. It kind of transports you into that time and place and that moment, that feeling, whatever it is. And that's what we're trying to be able to allow other churches and schools to be able to do that on a daily basis in their own context. So.
Very good. Obviously brand new website, koineworshipmedia.com. We want to include a link to that in our show notes so our listeners can find you. And there's ways there, like you said, to register and even to donate to support the efforts. I noticed you have a nice matching funds campaign going on right now as well.
Oh yeah, we had a very, very generous donor when he heard about what we were doing and how we wanted to do it. crazy thing is, I didn't even really ask him to do this. We were just talking about things, and then he called me on the phone after we had met, and he said, "Why don't we do a matching campaign to kind of help you get this thing launched?" And so yeah, we have. He's willing to match up to $50,000 for this launch of the new ministry. And so we're at about, we're right around 18,000 right now. And we've got a little time to go yet, another month or so. So I'm very confident that God's people are stepping up and are going to really support this and see the value of it, not only for our churches, but literally for people all over the world. We've had a number of emails and requests from people in Germany and in China, Brazil. For use of videos just like this. And in the past, again, when you're touring 200 times a year, you didn't really have time to make things that were specific to them and really, really functional for what they're talking about. And now that we look at this as our opportunity to really serve them from a distance, serve the pastor in Western South Dakota who doesn't have any musicians, you know, serve the church up in Appleton that has 1,000 members, and we serve them all at the same time, wherever they're at, however they're doing. Again, serving the Sunday school teachers in rural Wisconsin. These things can be used anywhere and everywhere. There is absolutely no risk. All we ask is that you contribute and join us in partnering with this ministry so that we can create more and more things throughout the years and then leave them there for as long as the internet is around. We want these things to be around and be available and accessible to people. And then hopefully when the new thing comes out where we're not using screens or TVs or iPads anymore, hopefully we'll have stuff on there too, whatever that is, whatever that gadget or gizmo is, we'll be using it there too and sharing the gospel.
So maybe the final question, and thanks for your time. Really appreciate it, you guys.
Thank you.
What's available now and what's the timeline for future resources? Do you have any of those kind of hard coded in your calendars?
I think we have 6 packages out right now. Okay. We have about 6 in the hopper that are on the way out soon. Okay. Our goal is to try to create something each week, but we're finding that it's probably like every 4 weeks we're able to dump a couple of videos out. So we're getting used to our production schedule, in other words.
Yeah, and we're also still learning in the process because, again, a lot of these things are new for us in creating them. So we're creating systems and things like that. But our goal and what our average pace is right now is it should put us on pace for about 50 full packages by the end of a 12-month period. So that, you know, that kind of puts it into perspective within – within 2 years, we should easily be able to have the 100 hymns out. But as things are supported, long-term vision, if we have the support necessary, we would love to hire more people to work on this with us and go faster, in which case we can obviously get a lot more resources than that out if the Lord blesses it that way. And in addition to that, long-term vision, as much as I love Jason Jasperson, as much as I love these guys as musicians and creators, you know, really, we're looking at creating, we want other artists and musicians to be involved in this as well. Long-term vision, we want more visual artists creating things and releasing them through our website, more musicians and arrangers. We want this to be a venue where they can share their gifts and their ministries with the world as well, and then we can support them in their ventures as well. You know, as an artist, so often we expect artists to work for the love of the ministry and for the love of Jesus, which of course they do. But having been an artist who has been supported by the church now for 15 years, we believe firmly that it is the job of the church and the job of us individually to support artists in their work, whether you're a visual artist or a musician. And so, we will be, you know, our goal is to be supporting them in any way we can as well, and really have hundreds and hundreds of resources available for churches all over the world very, very soon. So we just hope and pray God blesses it the way we see it. And of course, we know that his plans are not always ours, but these are our goals. These are our dreams. And we'll adapt as he tells us and as he sees fit.
Very nice. So that is koineworshipmedia.com. You can go there now and connect with them. And I'm assuming basically everything you do is going to be there. If you've got events that you're playing and touring and those kinds of things, they'll find that as well.
There is still the original website of koinemusic.com. Okay. That really is where the schedule is for the band itself.
Gotcha.
Playing. We're trying to separate the two worlds a little bit so that it stays a little more organized because there's so many things going on. So for now, there is still koinemusic.com and okay. koineworshipmedia.com.
Got it. And you didn't say what koine meant. Most people don't know Greek. But koine is a word for fellowship. Maybe final question. I said I had a final question before. Mm-hmm. How'd you come up with the name?
Oh, that is a good question. Koine comes from the koinonia, which means fellowship. It signifies commonness. So koine, kind of the shorter version, sort of means common in English. And the reason we chose that was we were taking the common songs from the church, songs that have been sung in the church for sometimes hundreds of years. And we were taking the common instruments of today, the common sounds and stylings of today in the music. And those two common elements we're combining with the extraordinary message of Christ and what he's done for the world. And at the same time, we still consider ourselves to be just very common people as well. Most of us growing up in the Lutheran church, going to Lutheran schools along the way, and just have a true heart for the ministry and a true heart for our little church body as well. That's really where the name kind of came from. And I don't know if you've ever tried to name a Christian band, but it's pretty hard to do.
There's a lot of really bad
names out there. Yeah. So it was quite a grueling process, but that one really kind of stood out to us. And I think it works. We're pretty happy with how it's worked out. So
good. It stuck. So it must be pretty good.
I guess it'll work.
Thanks, you guys, Brian, Jason, and Ben. Really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule in this new endeavor. We will be watching with interest, and I'm sure that God will bless that work, and just good stuff. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you. Thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Martin and Sally.
First of all, I want to thank three very busy guys, I'm sure. Anytime you're starting a new endeavor like that and your family's depending on you and you're not quite sure, you know, how it's going to all come together, but you're putting your faith in the Lord's work there. It's a little stressful sometimes, but they took a half hour out and brought us up to speed on the neat things that they're doing.
Yeah, and I definitely would encourage our listeners to head over to their website, koineworshipmedia.com. If you take a look, they have several packages up, as they mentioned, one of which you can download all the resources without having a login at all. So if you don't want to go through the process of creating a free account to get access to the resources, you can try it out. It's the song Just As I Am Without One Plea. And just as they described, it has MP3 accompaniments and recordings. It has chord charts, sheet music. It has lyric videos with accompaniment only or with vocals. It has scored video accompaniment. So, and then all the different presentation slides like PowerPoint and ProPresenter built in. So quite the collection of media that you can download if you take advantage of Koine Worship Media. And this is a great way to try it out without any obligation whatsoever.
And kind of a unique approach. They are, of course, looking for partners. And if you listen, if you kind of visit your website, you can their website, you can learn a little bit more about that. But basically, they're looking for contributions to use their material. Mm-hmm. So there's not it says pay what you wish, mm-hmm. and that's kind of a neat thing that they are putting that out there, and you can support them to whatever degree you feel they're contributing to your ministry. So that's pretty cool. They I'm really impressed with their approach here. Nice website as well, so you get a clear idea of what you're getting, and some very exciting times ahead, I think, for those guys.
Right. Martin, we probably should also make mention of other worship media resources, many of which fall into the category of motion videos and things like mm-hmm. that. You would do your own overlays of text or whatever to go along with these. But we have a Wells Tech Wiki page that we've maintained over many years that has great links to things like Centerline New Media, Creation Swap, Lightstock, and Worship House Media. So our listeners should also go check there. It has a brand new entry with Koine Worship Media added to the list. But there's certainly lots of options for obtaining some of the stock imagery and videos that you might use for your worship service.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about worship media in general. Again, we did talk about this in a fairly recent episode, maybe back February-ish. We had a series called Training Techies. And one of our topics was worship projection. So that was kind of a narrow focus. And, you know, we're a little bit broader here. But the technologies are so accessible at this point that I think a congregation looking to get into this have a lot of choices. And it's not overly expensive to kind of to dip your toes in the water here. Obviously, you need some hardware. And we're not going to go into all the details for that, and you know the projectors and screens and all that stuff. But I think one of those challenges that, as we've mentioned in the past, some of our churches have is just their architecture. How do you fit media into the place of worship, into the sanctuary? And Sal, you've been at a few congregations where I think you've thought through that or seen that in action, right, that are more traditional buildings, but they've made it work.
Right. Martin, actually, I was just going to say, on my travels, it's been really neat to see.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Lots of different execution of projection, particularly you said like more traditional, you know, where you have like a long skinny rectangle and everybody's focused toward the front. St. Paul's New Ulm, certainly our home congregation, has a really large screen that comes down during worship for projection. But I've been in a lot of congregations lately that are more of like a half circle kind of layout where it's a lot shorter. More the rectangles going the other direction, mm-hmm. a lot shorter distance to the front. However, people are kind of facing really different directions in that if they're sitting off to the sides or whatever. And one congregation in particular, Pilgrim and Menominee Falls, they actually project in two places. So it's on each side wall, kind of at an angle, and depending on where you're sitting, it may be more comfortable to look one place or the other. I thought that was a really neat installation of it. They also just use the wall to project on. It's not a real large projection, and they just use wall space, and I've seen that in other congregations as well. So no screen involved whatsoever. They just use wall space to do the projection. The congregation we worshiped at on Sunday had a Wells Connection video at the end of worship, and they brought out a TV to play that on rather than any projection whatsoever. So there's right. a real variety out there.
It's a spectrum, yep. Our congregation went through a renovation or a remodel of the sanctuary about a year and a half ago, 2 years maybe now, and they kind of recognize that this would be something that they wanted to do. We don't use it, you know, throughout the service, but for pre-service, sometimes during a sermon, communion hymn and post-service, that kind of stuff. And they were able to, I think, nicely use the front wall, mm-hmm. so there's no screen. And, you know, the danger there is, well, you got a big blank space and people wondering, oh, what goes there? But I think there are ways to do it effectively as well. So it's interesting. I envy you a little bit to see these screens or these media presentations in action at different locations. I think everybody's just still trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Definitely variety in what they do. Some people mm-hmm. cut it off completely at different times during the service, and some people have it throughout the entire service. So, yeah, definitely variety. And there's a variety of software that people can use to control it. So right. some people have a media area in the back of church where they're controlling it from. At St. Paul's in New Ulm, they actually have an iPad, and the person controlling can be seated in the pew and using the iPad version of the software to control right there from their pew. So just a real variety around the different software requirements for the hardware that you use.
Right. And there are software packages now that can be used, iPad or otherwise. And when we were talking to Koine, they were talking about making files that are ready, you know, for some of these packages. I think one of the ones they mentioned on their website is ProPresenter. Mm-hmm. That's one of the more popular ones. But we talked with Kristen Tate from Faith Life, and their product Proclaim is another one that's out there. And we had a voicemail just this week from Alan Bunt. He talked about MediaShout, which is one that's been around a long time that we've talked about. And I think we even talked to the founder of MediaShout, I want to say. This is ancient history now, right? Do you have any recollection of that, Sally, or am I just making this stuff up like I normally
do? I totally trust your brain. I got nothing on that one. Sorry. But Alan had some other things to share, too. We should probably play his voicemail.
Yep, let's listen to the voicemail from Alan.
Hello, Martin and Sally, and all your Wells Tech podcast listeners. Alan Bunt from Good Shepherd Lutheran in Wisconsin Rapids. We use a combination of three different things for our worship media for projection on the screens. First of all would be MediaShout 6. That is primarily used for the entire worship, which is coordinated by one person. And then Pastor builds his own PowerPoints for a sermon and songs and such. So that's a separate input. And then I also make old school graphics using PaintShop Pro to overlay onto the live video on our worship stream. It's kind of a combination of all three. Three different people doing three different things. That's the challenge. Anyway, I just thought I'd provide that in case anybody's wondering what to use. And they can always contact me if they have any questions. Good topic. So thank you. Talk to you later.
So Alan mentioned MediaShout 6, PowerPoint, which is something I know a lot of congregations use. In fact, that's what we use at our congregation, which works well for our purposes. It's easy to use. Everybody knows how to use it. And then he mentioned a kind of a blast from the past, PaintShop Pro, which is by Corel, and I'm a big Corel fan from long ago. I used to do some, you know, a side business for some display graphic companies, and Corel was kind of the tool that I used because they had a vector image and Photoshop kind of replacement out there. And I was kind of, I had to look this up. I said, did these guys still exist? And lo and behold, they have a full package. And you may even remember Corel bought WordPerfect, and lo and behold, WordPerfect still exists. So if you are a huge WordPerfect fan, it's still out there. So that's amazing, and all at very reasonable prices. I think they're a Canadian company. Corel always was, but very interesting. But that's what Alan says he uses for the overlays, and that's awesome.
Yeah, a little history lesson there. Thanks for that. I think what Alan's message to me pointed out is that it kind of takes a village to make these weekly projection events happen, because obviously the pastor is going to be wanting to design his portion of it to go along with his sermon. There's people that need to set up the hymns and things like that. And then Alan was saying he used the graphics program to do overlays. So all these things come together to form your worship media. And I would say if you're just getting started, don't try to do all of them at once.
Yeah, you know, no kidding.
Build it up over time. But know that whatever solution you come up with, you need to have multiple inputs typically to build the final product.
Yep. And one thing that we did mention in that episode 535, Training Techies, is coordination is really important, and it's all about the people. You know, the training, you know, it's an ongoing thing. You have to make sure people know what they're doing, make sure they have good instructions or documentation. As things change, make sure that gets updated. And then finally, don't just rely on one person. You need some coordination and backup. So also, if the technology fails, you need a backup for that as well. So a lot of considerations when you're kind of adding some complexity to worship, because that's exactly what you're doing when you're adding worship media. It's not just open up to page 5 and 15 and let the organist go. There's a lot more coordination involved. And anybody who's, you know, started this, I'm sure recognizes that. And obviously you want to, you know, provide the best worship experience that you can. So it's worth the time to put into this. And using good tools, good practice, good people are all really important to this process.
Right. I would say your worship experience is probably the most event of your week, most important event of your week that in terms of outreach and things like that. You want to do it with excellence for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Certainly as best you can with the resources God has given you. Mm-hmm. So, again, our thanks to Koine for taking some time to kick us off with the topic here, and for Alan and his feedback, and just a real timely topic. And if your congregation uses different tools or maybe has some advice that you would be willing to share with the rest of us, please do contribute that to this show. Just go to wellstech.wells.net, make a comment there on the page, comment on the show episode or any of the social media avenues, or email us, wellstech@wells.net. So, neat topic. Let's move on, Sally, to news and tech. It was a newsy week last week from the folks at Apple, wasn't it?
It was. Lots of new things that were announced, and maybe you've already made your pre-orders and are ready for delivery. Who knows? There's new iPhones and Apple Watch announcements to go over.
This is one of those in-between years. Apple kind of staggers their main release, and then the next year is kind of an improvement on that release, and then the following year is kind of a new product category, or, you know, a reimagining of what happened 2 years ago. And that's kind of what happened this year. The iPhone X, or iPhone X, as they brand it, came out last year, and this year it's the iPhone XS. And they have two different sizes. One actually pretty large. What is it, about 6.5 inches, something like that, diagonal? Very large. And then they introduced kind of an intermediate one called the iPhone XR, which comes in all kinds of different colors. So those of you that are interested in that. All of these are rather expensive products, as Apple is, I think, wants to be known as kind of a premium product. But sometimes you get what you pay for as well. And then what I'm most interested in, Sally, I think, of all the products, because I'm not really in the market for a phone at this point, is the Apple Watch. I do wear an Apple Watch. I'm wearing a Series 2, which they haven't sold in a long time now. They just, last year has been Series 3, and now they've released the Series 4 watch, which is a little bit bigger screen. And now Siri's talking to me again. She hears her name. And then a couple things I'm excited about is because I am a heart patient or former heart patient, they've really improved some of those capabilities where later this year, They're going to be adding the ability to take an EKG with your watch.
Isn't that crazy?
Which is actually very cool.
Wow.
They're doing, they can track AFib as well, which is important for heart patients, EKGs, fall detection, which they've done a lot of things with the accelerometer and different things with that, where they can detect if somebody has fallen, and if they don't move for a period of time, they can make an emergency call to a contact. I think there's a lot of possibilities there for seniors, potentially, that you know, that becomes a problem, and you want to kind of look out for mom or dad. And so I think they're moving in a neat direction with some of these technologies that they're putting in this watch. It comes at a price. I don't have the prices up in front of me, but they're actually more expensive than Series 3, although that's still available and it's still a good watch for a lower price. But you're in the $350 to $499 range, I want to guess, something like that. But so you're paying for it. But interesting product line, and I think they're recognizing that some of these features are going to be very appealing to people who would have a need for some of these monitoring things they're doing.
Very exciting. I'm guessing the Spriggs children are tuned in and paying attention for their Christmas list for Dad.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I may send them this episode. They're yep, that would be nice, kids. Take a listen. So anyway, those are out, I believe available for order now and out by Friday, I want to say. So you probably go to an Apple store and pick one of those up, or at least try a watch on or look at the phones. So, Sally, should we move on?
I think we should. It's time to talk about Wells Now, things that are happening in the Synod. And we have a new Interactive Faith online Bible study series to announce today. Interactive Faith is an ongoing online series that happens throughout the year. And we bring in different people to present. And what's neat about it is it's accentuated by technology, but it's actually meant to be a face-to-face kind of Bible study experience as well, where you can gather a group of people around the old computer monitor or projection, and throughout the Bible study, there's usually handouts that go along with it. There's time to pause and discuss it with your group that's gathered and studying together. So that's the format of Interactive Faith. This time, the topic is going to be titled "To the Ends of the Earth, Beginning in Your Backyard." It says, as a Christian, you know the joy, peace, and hope of being sure your sins are forgiven and eternal life is yours. You want others to know this as well, but perhaps, like many Christians, telling others about Jesus is daunting. What do I say? How do I say it? What if I don't have answers to people's questions? So this Interactive Faith Bible study will discuss these very questions and concerns, and it features Pastor Eric Recker. Pastor Recker is the brand new director of Wells Commission on Evangelism, and he is going to use the video vignettes from the new movie To the Ends of the Earth to guide the discussion. So dates are coming up in November. If you want to go ahead and mark your calendar and start promoting and gathering your group, it's November 7th, 14th, and 28th. And I think that just skips the week of Thanksgiving, basically. So just three dates. Each of those evenings, we offer the same Bible study at 6 and 8 p.m. Central Time. So you can choose the one that works best with your schedule. And maybe week to week, you have to vary. but you have that option to tune in either at 6 or 8 p.m. on those evenings. And just three short weeks you're committing to. Sounds like a great Bible study. To the Ends of the Earth, Beginning in Your Backyard.
Nice. Yeah, Pastor Recker was in my office just the other day. Some neat ideas about how to run this series, trying to create some interest and make it as interactive as possible. So I think he's got some great ideas. I'm looking forward to what he can do with this. He's a new kid on the block, so he's looking to impress. Looking forward to Eric's presentation. So hope you guys are too. Let's move on to our picks or tips of the week.
And I am actually holding my pick of the week. It's a hardware type pick. It's actually a peripheral device. It's a mount for a phone, a smartphone. I have an iPhone 6S Plus, and it holds the big smartphones as well, but it's used for photography. So if you need a tripod type device, I'm going to recommend to you the Joby GorillaPod. This particular one is called the GripTight 1 GP Stand, and you can buy it from B&H Photo online for $25.82. So I am interested in doing more photography and more videography, hopefully, and my iPhone has the capabilities that I need to produce some pretty good photos and videos, but I oftentimes need a tripod to put it on. And I actually have a really large kind of clunky tripod, you know, that stands up full height and everything. And so I was kind of thinking I would just get a socket or what do they call it? The mount to put on the tripod that I have that exists. And when I went looking for that smartphone mount to screw into the tripod that I have, I found one by Joby, and the price was around $20. So it's an expandable device, fits several different size smartphones. But hanging right next to it on the shelf, I actually found it at Best Buy, but I didn't find it on their website. So I'm going to post a B&H Photo website link. But anyway, hanging next to it was the full GorillaPod, which is a really flexible tripod that will like wrap around a tree arm or whatever you need it to do. It'll just stand alone, or it's very flexible and you can wrap it around something to anchor your tripod. And it was only $25 range. So $5 more, and I got the GorillaPod as part of the deal. I can still unscrew the mount and use it on my regular tripod if I want to or need to. But I really like the GorillaPod and the fact that it's very flexible in different settings that I'm in. I'll be able to attach it to things using that. So far, so good. I've used it a couple of times, and I'm real happy with my purchase. Thought other people might be interested in a tripod for their smartphone. So that's my pick of the week.
Yeah, it looks like it'll fit most smartphones because it does have kind of a spring action grip that will hold the phone in a horizontal or landscape position, right? And does yours actually go in portrait? It looks like it does have a swivel there.
It swivels down.
That's a great question.
I don't think it will go in portrait. I'll have to experiment. I think it just swivels down for storage. So you can straighten the legs, you can swivel it down, fold it up, and it's just like a stick. You could use it as a selfie stick even.
Right. Neat product. Great price, by the way. That's a good find.
Yeah.
All right. My pick is actually a tip. And the news, part of the news, we didn't have this in News and Tech, but I heard this past week that Google is doing away with their Inbox product, which I've used for a long time on my smartphone, especially. It's kind of the slimmed down, touch-friendly Gmail client. But what they've done over the course of the last few years is incorporate a lot of the inbox functionality, like snoozing emails and such, into their Gmail product. So that got me looking at their Gmail client, and one of the things that you'll notice right away in your Gmail client, which I never saw on the inbox client, was it'll tell you how much storage you have left. And free storage in Gmail is 16 gigabytes, if you haven't looked lately. And I was at 16.1 gigabytes, so they were giving me a little friendly message that says, you're over, and pretty soon you're not going to be getting any more emails if you don't do something about this. And your Gmail storage or your Google storage is based on three things. It's worst based on your Gmail emails, which it saves a lot of. It is based on your Google Drive storage, and it's based on anything you have in Google Photos. So I went about trying to slim that down to get under my 16 gigs so I wouldn't have to pay for any extra storage, although it's not super expensive. And I found a number of articles about how to do that. One is that, and this is not the tip, but in Google Photos you can say, don't save the originals, but save compressed versions. So depending on what kind of photos you take, that's not a big deal. So that saved a lot of storage. But one of the articles I found was really helpful in finding large attachments in Gmail. And that saved a ton of space in my Gmail side of the house. And here, I will put a post or a link to the post in the show notes. Just a good way to try and show by size and in ascending or descending order all the attachments that you have in your inboxes, in your Gmail, wherever they store them, you know, folders. And you can say, well, just show me any email with attachment larger than 5 megabytes or 10 megabytes or whatever. And it's really just using the search box and knowing how to use the colon and how to filter these things. So it's an excellent article that talks about how to slim down that storage by simply just stripping out some of these attachments. And then when I did it, I mean, I was finding emails from 12 years ago, because I've been using Gmail for a long time, and just those attachments were just sitting in there, and I had no need for them at all. So I just went through and deleted them, and that freed up a lot of storage. So I went from 16 gigabytes, 16.1 gigabytes, and now I'm down to 3.5.
Holy cow.
Yep.
That's a big difference.
That was quite a diet that I went on there, and things are all good now. So
I'm at 15.79, but mine says of 17 gig instead of 16 gig.
Well, aren't you the privileged one?
I guess I am. Yeah. So
I don't know how they figure that, but
buy storage as well. But
you can. It's like a $1.99 for a month for, I forget what it is, 50 gigs or something like that. So. But anyway, if you want to stay on the free side, now this does not; these are not the limits that Google Apps or G Suite users have, because you have more storage than that if you're using a G Suite account through your nonprofit or through your school account. So I think you have much more storage than that. But if you're just a regular old Gmail user, that's kind of the ballpark that you're dealing with. So
yeah.
Interesting.
Here's pricing: 100 gigabytes for $1.99 a month,
100 gigabytes, there you go,
$19.99 a year, and you save $3.89 if you go for the yearly.
Yep.
200 gig for $2.99 a month.
Yep. So. And I used to use the 100 gigabytes, so I didn't really have to worry about that. But then when I switched mostly to iPhone and iPad, I switched to iCloud, which just worked a little bit better, you know, with those platforms. And so I went off of G Drive, Google Drive stuff. So just a little tip for you if you're one of those people. Next up is our ministry resource, and happy to contribute to our worship media discussion with a great article from Church Tech Today. I thought this was really timely. An article entitled "Troubleshooting Your Church Sound System." This came out just 2 weeks ago. Church Tech Today is one of those sites that I pay quite a bit of attention to, because they really address a lot of the topics that we bring up here on the show. And this "Troubleshooting Your Church Sound System" article really is. And another thing I like about it is they keep it short and sweet, and just kind of give you bulleted lists and some additional resources. But they talk through how you should maybe be thinking about making sure your sound system is up to snuff. And obviously, sound is one of those things you really can't whiff on. You have to really make sure that that's solid, because that's so noticeable, you know, within the worship experience, especially if you're dealing with anything beyond just a smaller worship space, and sometimes even in a smaller worship space if you're doing a recording. So they talk about how to think about it, where to start, and they say pay a lot of attention to your cabling, because that's really the weakest link. And then a lot of great practical advice here on how to attack these things. So if you are in charge of your church's sound system and you are not a sound engineer or know quite a bit about the equipment that you're dealing with, and I think that's probably a lot of churches' situations. I mean, they get the gear in, they hire a professional to install it, and then they turn it over to the volunteers. This is a good article to read. So put that in the show notes.
Yeah, you kind of brought back some bad memories of St. John's and Sleepy Eye because we didn't get the gear in and hire a professional to do it. We kind of inherited gear and strung it together, and I'm guessing a lot of congregations are like that. Some of those cables were older connections and things, and then people started telling us there was a buzz in our audio in the live streaming, and it's kind of hard to even know where to begin.
Right.
So I can see this kind of thing being very, very helpful to congregations.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Good stuff.
All right. It's that time of the show where we put our ear to the speakers and listen for community feedback. And we had a number of things that we can share this week.
We do. Starting with our Wells Google Schools community, there was a question out there from Ryan Rosenthal, a longtime listener to Wells Tech. He says one of his jobs this school year is coming up with a technology curriculum for our school. Anyone have one they want to share? And he got some varied responses. One person wrote about using an elementary computer curriculum that was developed by a couple of Wells teachers. It's posted on the St. Matthew's Oconomowoc website. Eric Paulson and Peter Markgraf collaborated to come up with the curriculum, and they have links to curriculum guides and scope and sequence and all kinds of things like that. And they have curriculum units by grade from kindergarten through eighth grade and free to use out there on their website. There were a few other comments on it. Some people said maybe you just need to integrate technology. You don't really need a specific technology curriculum. But Ryan responded and said, I've been told to write one to achieve our accreditation goal.
Right.
Then Mike Plucker chimed in and he says, can you pull out your state ed tech standards and drop them into a spreadsheet and have teachers add in skills and activities and assessments they do that meet the different standards? Quick way to get started. So lots of different angles that you could attack that problem from. Another comment out here was about recording presentations. Someone was looking to do something like a webinar type thing and make a video recording of themselves presenting on a topic. And different people suggested different software, including AceThinker Screen Grabber Pro for Mac. Someone spoke of it very highly. Others said YouTube live recording is a possibility and some other options as well. Zoom, WebEx, and GoToMeeting are possibilities. So we definitely have made use of the YouTube live events. That's basically Hangouts on air. And that's certainly a possibility. You can do that with just one person in the Hangout and make a recording that way. So lots of options there.
One thing that comes to my mind, and it's a piece of hardware that we talked about maybe a couple of years ago, was a product called Swivel, where you put your iPad on this device, and then you wear kind of a tracker, basically a tracker microphone, and then it follows you around the classroom, takes the video, and allows you to kind of do hands-free and figures out where you are in the classroom, and then gives you a playable audio or audio video file. So it's pretty cool.
Good stuff. All right. Continuing on in community feedback, a couple of questions around the concept around technology to help those that are deaf and hard of hearing. First up, we heard from Nikki Barabbas. And she wrote and said she's with the Mission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing Committee, the Wells Committee under Special Ministries, and she has a project to work on, so she has some questions. She said they're working on solutions and suggestions to give to congregations for captioning their online sermons and services, just a variety of media that they want to add captioning to. And she's looking for recommendations to do captioning video at a reasonable price. And so things she's looked into include Vannon service, and the price isn't too bad, but they're looking into something they can do themselves without having to hire a person or company to do it. Just wondering what recommendations we might have. And we basically agreed to throw it out to our listeners. I know last week I had a pick related to using Camtasia to add captioning. So that might be an option. There's definitely nonprofit pricing for Camtasia video editing software. So that's something they could look into. Martin, you had maybe a recommendation as well?
Yeah, and we don't have it in the show notes, so I'm not going to remember what it was.
I want to say it was Rev.
Rev.com. Yep, mm-hmm. I had talked with the folks at Rev a while back, and they gave me a trial, which I never actually got a chance to use. But they do transcription from an audio file for automated and I think in person, depending on the price. So it was, I forget what the price was per minute, but I don't know how that compares to what Nikki was finding, or what Nikki mm-hmm. was finding. But there's I'm sure there's other solutions out there, and like you mentioned, Sally, it'd be great to hear from our audience if people have things that they've found to be useful, economic, helpful, good. Yeah, that'll work.
Very good. And then we heard from Bev Nels, who's also a member of the Mission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing Committee under Special Ministries. Bev's a longtime member, and she has a set of VHS tapes that she'd like to share with a family that has three young deaf children. The tapes are apparently very, very well done, and the price tag for them in DVD format is $50 each. So the complete set is $600 in DVD format. She's willing to donate these VHS recordings of them, and I think even the name is here. I just don't see it jumping out at me. Anyway, the set of videos, but she needs a VHS player to give to them as well. So if there's anyone that knows or has access to a VHS player that you'd be willing to donate to be shipped to this family along with these tapes, you can certainly get in touch with Martin and I through Wells Tech, and we can put you in touch with Bev Nels regarding that need.
Nice.
And then one more thing listed here, shout out for paper bullet journals. Going back to our discussion over the last couple of weeks, Martin, where we talked about bullet journaling, listener Deborah Hoffland wrote on our Facebook page that she is definitely a fan, and she uses Lectherm and Moleskine notebooks. So we'll have a link in the show notes to those two notebook types. That's a paper version of bullet journaling, and those are some great notebooks if you're interested in getting started.
Yeah, I've not heard of Lectherm before, but just looking at their website, very classy.
Yeah, that's the German bullet journal. I did, I think, mention that there was a German one out there, but I couldn't remember the name of it, but very, very popular among those that do paper journaling.
Yeah, all kinds of nice colors there, too, I notice. Mm-hmm. So
important stuff.
And that's part of the fun, right?
That's right.
Just picking something that is you. So, cool.
Mm-hmm. Time for our video of the week.
Go for it.
All right. And we're going to talk about Pastor Eric Recker once again, because he was featured on the September 11th Together video update. So if you want to learn a little bit about Pastor Recker, I think he mentions his interactive faith Bible study that's coming up and a few other things that are happening in the evangelism office. Definitely tune in and meet Pastor Recker on this Together video update.
Well, I hope this show lived up to the billing that Sally gave it last week. she set the bar really high, and I'm thinking that we're going to enjoy ourselves next week, too, because we are inviting back our semi-regular classroom one of our semi-regular classroom technology correspondents, Professor Rachel Feld from Martin Luther College. And Sally, what are we going to talk to Rachel about?
Well, I think Rachel's going to talk to us about it, because made a great recommendation. I'm super excited to dig into a book recommendation, Faithfully Connected. It's a new book out of Concordia Publishing House, and it is geared toward teaching digital citizenship in the Lutheran classroom as well as the Lutheran catechism classroom. There's actually lesson plans for both traditional classroom and catechism connections, and it's divided up into some really great topics. We're going to dive into chapter one, and I want to say it's about digital availability or something along those lines. So, yeah, you'll have to tune in next week. I'll throw a a link in the show notes to the book. You can grab an ebook copy for around $12. So very affordable if you want to read along with us. Maybe it's the answer to some of those people that are looking for elementary computer curriculum, or at least one component of it, that digital citizenship. So definitely tune in. We're looking forward to that book discussion throughout this school year.
As we mentioned before, we would love any kind of feedback that you'd like to provide. Our show notes page is a place to find it all, wellstech.wells.net. You can find our show notes, all the links, ways to get in touch with us. So, you know, please take advantage of that. Bring your friends next time. We're going to be talking with Rachel in episode 568. Next, we normally record on Tuesday. Show's usually out on Wednesday. So thank you for your continued patronage, or at least your listenership. Really appreciate that. So that's going to about do it. We hope you have a great week, and we'll see you soon.